Praise the Lord. Love the Lord this morning. Let's all stand. Let's go before Him in prayer this morning. Precious Heavenly Father, Lord, we feel the grace in our lives this morning. Lord, we feel Your tender hand, Lord, just guiding, leading us every step of the way, Lord. Lord, we know You're just a whisper away. We just appreciate that, Lord, with all our hearts. Lord, that means anything to us in this life. We just love and appreciate You, Lord. We ask You to have Your way in service. Everything be said and done and sung for Your glory and Your honor. We ask all this in Your precious holy name, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. Amen. Page 354, Your Only Belief. Amen. I have a source. I have a source of strength when I am weak, that takes me through when life is pressing me. I have a power from above. I'm covered over by a shield of love. I claim the love Jesus shed. Comforting to know He's right there. Amen. I'd like to try 262, same book. His love has no limit. Amen. He giveth more grace when the burdens grow greater. He sendeth more strength when the labors increase to is multiplied. His love has no limit. His grace has no measure. His power has no boundaries known unto man. For out of his infinite riches in Jesus, he giveth, and he giveth, and he giveth again. When we have exhausted our store of endurance, when our strength has failed, ere the day our hoarded resources, our Father's forgiving has only begun. His love has no limit. His grace has no measure. His power has no in Jesus, he giveth, and he giveth, and he giveth again. His love has no limit. His grace has no measure. His power has no boundaries known unto man. For out of his infinite riches in Jesus, he Man, a little chorus has been on my heart, page 122. Amen.
Just another touch, Lord, from you to help me in the trials I go through. Lord, I
Brother Amos, will you come up and take the offering up?
Heavenly Father, Lord, truly we are so thankful and so glad for this opportunity you've granted to us, Lord, to gather around that precious word this day. Lord, truly no place else would rather be. Lord, we thank you for the health and strength you granted to us. Lord, for the desire in our hearts to draw closer to you this day. Lord, as we've come to this portion, Lord, we ask once more that you'll bless this offering. May it be used for the upbuilding of thy kingdom. We ask these things in your precious holy name, Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen. Oh, just another touch, Lord, from you to help me in the trials I go through. Lord, dark may be the night,
you'll send a ray of light
when I get a touch, Lord, from you. Amen. Love you. Anybody got a need on their heart this morning? Amen. Just keep it before him as we ask Brother Jim if he would take the request this morning.
Heavenly Father, we come to you again this day.
Yes.
Thanking you for safe transportation. Asking you, Lord, to be with all the unspoken requests. Be with those that have been spoken.
Amen.
Because you know that we know that you hear our prayers. Because we are your children.
Yes.
So as we come to you today, Lord, we're thankful that you've given us a life that we might give you praise and honor. In Jesus' name.
Amen. You may be seated. Amen. Anybody got a special they want to sing this morning? Something on their heart? I ask you to come.
While they were still in their mother's womb, before one deed was done, somehow in God's sovereign grace, his elective love chose one. Like Jacob, I too had nothing to say when he divided the clay. Yet here I stand, believing every word today. It's just grace. It's been God's amazing grace. There's nothing I could ever do or say. No good deed, no merit. There's nothing I can claim. It's just his grace that's holding me today. Many people claim to believe the message of this day, yet they won't stay with every word they add to or take away. but by His grace He has a few who will never compromise. No matter the cost, they take their stand for Christ. It's just grace. It's been God's amazing grace. There's nothing I could ever do or say. No good deed, no merit. There's nothing I can claim. It's just His grace that's holding me today. No good deed, no merit. There's nothing I can claim. It's just His grace that's holding me today.
So stand. Let's just sing that little chorus, Amazing Grace, as we ask our pastor to come.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me.
Just bow our heads again for a moment of prayer. Precious, precious Lord, our Savior, precious Jesus, how we're so thankful again to be here today, and so thankful for that amazing grace, Lord. And Father, I believe we'll see a little more of that this morning by the time we get done, to see that grace and mercy, Lord. That truly one day when we've seen it rewrite our life and turned us completely around. Oh, we're so thankful for that, Lord. I pray that these words today as we bring of yours, Lord, that you would again open our heart to it. And truly we understand it can only be spiritually understood. It's not something, Lord, we'll be able to intellectually put it together and understand what you was talking about. But Lord, may it stir our hearts. And may our hearts be open to receive. And may we be able to lay aside all the cares of life and all the things that are temporal. It's going to perish and corrupt and it'll burn, be destroyed. May it all be pushed aside, Lord. And Father, I pray that you'll just help each one of us to make sure we're filled with your Holy Spirit, Lord. That it's your life coming forth and not our own personal idea of what we feel about things. But Lord, it was all about you and you getting the glory and the honor through what you do through human flesh. We pray now thy will be done as we wait on you now to speak to us through the Word of God. We love you, Lord. We appreciate you. And how needful we are, Lord. We pray thy will be done now. In Jesus' name, our Lord and Savior, we ask. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Praise his wonderful name. I love him. He's so precious. As each day goes by, this little song says it gets sweeter and sweeter each day as it goes by. Amen. Let us turn our Bibles, if you will, one more time to the book of James in the first chapter we read Thursday evening. Just kind of refresh your mind to something here. And I want to bring what the Lord laid on our heart for this morning. Amen. There's quite a few not here again that's feeling sick, so we pray God will bless them and strengthen them. Amen. All right, so let's, the book of James in the first chapter, and let's begin here at the 22nd verse, as we read again Thursday evening. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. May God bless during his word, and you may be seated. Again, we want to just pray God will bless each and every one of you and bless those that have drove so far. My goodness, I pray God will have a special blessing for you. Amen. That's, you know, a lot of us that live close by, we can get up in the morning, take our good old time, you know, and eat breakfast and different things, you know, whatever we end up doing on Sunday morning before we get here. But, you know, some that drive so far, they have to start out really early, you know, to do and to be here and to, you know, I believe it's a sacrifice, you know, you have to do those things, but it's all where the heart's at, you know, it's what your desire is, and as I said, I pray God will always help me to give you something that'll be a blessing and encouragement to you, that it won't be a waste for you to be here, but by the Holy Spirit, help and deliver to your heart what'll bless you. Amen. All right, I want to read first, and again, just kind of keep fresh in your mind, and maybe if any of those that wasn't here Thursday night, we were speaking about this scripture here in James, the first chapter, and talking about the forgetful here and the placing they were at. And, you know, we was talking about how it still seems even as late as the hour is, and knowing, we know without doubt, it's very close to appearing of the Lord. We don't know exact time, but again, we know it's getting very close, and it's a time of urgency, a time that the life of Christ must be on display. You know, as the prophet brought the token and in desperation after that, it's a time of urgency, you see, and it must take place in our lives. So we realize that, you know, there's so much of this thing going on today, though, that people hear a message. You know, and just kind of refreshing a little bit Thursday evening. They hear a message and they hear what the word says. The word plainly tells them what to say. And then we go out and don't do it. Just don't do it. And we may think that that's not much of a problem. It's just me. You know, I'm just slow, you know, and I'm just this and I'm just that. We can make all kind of excuses. But again, God has a answer for everything. And he always says his word for reason. You know, and it's not a very pleasant position to be in. It's not a very good position to be in. It's not a very assuring place to be in to be a forgetful hearer of the word of God. When the word of God plainly tells us what to do, we take the time out and we do come into service and we listen to the Word of God. We may take the time through the day and listen to what the prophet said, or read the scriptures, read the messages, whatever. and then still don't do what it says. I want you to think how many years this message has been around. This end time message. It's been around a long time. Long time. And many of us has heard a lot of word. A lot of word. You know? And to think that we would be a people that would hear it and then not do it. As I said, that's not a very safe place to be in. We may just think, well, it's just me. And I'm not talking about those that's not born again. Or knows. I should say it this way. Knows they're not born again. You know what you need if you're not born again. You know if you know that. And you know you have to be. You know, regardless of what preachers tell you and what this happens and this, that, and the other, you must be born again. You see? But those that say they're born again or think they're born again or feel they're born again, maybe they got a blessing some night. Maybe they felt chills running down their back. Maybe they had different things happen in their life. They think, I think I'm born again. Well, again, how can you set a man's pants on fire and he not know it? If you really have the new birth, you're really going to know it. And the thing it is, it'll vindicate itself. You know, as I renew our minds back to what our prophet said in Future Home, of what the true evidence of the baptism of the Holy Ghost was. Be able to receive the word of your day and get a clear understanding. It vindicates itself. The entire word of God. That's the only foot you got to stand on. Not feelings, not blessings, not feeling good. No. Not some preacher walking up to me, you got the new birth. Still, my only true assurance is if I go back to that word and that word shows me where I do. And it vindicates itself, you see. Regardless of what people say, that's still your only assurance. Okay? Now, I want to read a few things here before I get into the main part of the message. But this is in A Man Running from the Presence of the Lord, February 17, 1965. Paragraph 38, the prophet's saying here, I believe we have the truth. You believe you got the truth?
Amen.
Amen, I believe we do. I'm satisfied of that. I am too. I'm satisfied we got the truth. And I believe the wheat is absolutely, and then he says, the shuck is pulling away from it, you know? And I may give a little prelude on that tomorrow night, because the next message he preached the seed is not ever shuck. And he says, you know, he says, how the shuck is pulling away from the wheat. But the wheat has to lay in the presence of the sun to ripen. That's what we do here when we come here. We lay in the presence of the sun to ripen. All right? And that's what we're here for, friend. To stay in the presence of the sun till our little group of people here, till it becomes so ripe to Christ, it becomes bread on his table. Is that our desire? Become so ripe that we become bread on his table. So it means there must be something on the inside of us longing for that, desiring for that. Something burning in our hearts to see that accomplished in our life, to ripen. Not to hear things and then let it just go on. You know, like Brother Branham, we read the illustration, he said, like water off a duck's back. You know, the word comes, hits the duck, the water hits the duck's back and it just pebbles right off of it, you know. Doesn't soak in whatsoever. But it hit the duck. I want you to notice that. It hit the duck, but it ran off. Now it'd be different. The duck would have a different excuse and the whole little theory or illustration would be totally different if the water wasn't on the duck. But the water hit the duck. And then it rolled off. So it didn't penetrate. It didn't go inside. You know, it just ran off. The next quote I want to read is, turn on the light. This is January 25th, 1964. Just placing a few things in here before we go in, as I said, our main message. Paragraph 70. But you see, today we find the people like, it was like it was somewhat in that day, that trying to live back in a glare. the church should ripen as the wheat ripens. That man shall live by not bread alone, but by every word of God, the bread of life. Not just part of the words, every word of God. Every age, he says. Just don't stay and eat beans and potatoes all the time. There is other things that goes with it. As we go on into the full course of God's great dinner that's set before his people. The power of the Holy Ghost. The rejoicing of it, the power of the Spirit that has been given, the works that I do, shall you do also. Because I live, you live also. See the promises that Jesus made to his church, and yet today we find people trying to go back into some other age that's gone by. I see, we see what he's talking about here too. You know, we're talking about many people still like to go back to Pentecost, even this last Pentecostal thing we went through. But never did you see in there, friends, where it was every word, every word, every word. No. I come through the tail end of it, friend. I know. But when we got to this message, it was every word, every word, every word. You see? It was the life, the literal life of Jesus Christ. You know, not just speaking in tongues, not just rejoicing, not dancing all over the church. No, not like it did. And it actually happened. They danced across the pews, hit the top of the pews, and never miss a lick. You see? Not all that. This is life. This is something that goes beyond what that age had. You see? This is something that's got to be a reality to where it really takes people's thinking over. Their very life. Their decisions they make in life. The places they go. The way they think, period. This is something totally different what it was in Pentecost. You see? All right. Let's read one more, and then we'll go into our main message, what we want to go into. Christ the Mystery God Revealed, July 28, 1963, paragraph 484. It's his presence in the individual with a personal vindication of himself expressing himself. Now, don't just let it go on the duck and roll off. It's going to mean something here in a minute. It's a personal vindication of him expressing himself. The living word that's promised for the day, expressing itself through you. A vindication of the great revelation of God. Look, only in an individual, never a group. That's why even it may come down to maybe the wife won't go, but the husband will. You know, because it's individuals. And maybe one child in the family that'll go. Mother, dad won't. You know? It's an individual affair. See? It's not a group. His identification is with an individual. Do you get that, he says. The congregation at that time said, amen. Not with the Methodists, not with the Baptists, not with Presbyterian, not Lutheran or Pentecostals, but as an individual. I'll take one, I'll leave one. I'll separate them. That's right. There'll be two in the field. I'll take one and I'll leave one. There'll be two in bed. I'll take one and leave one. You know, my wife may be really sincere and dedicates her life to the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, just really surrender to God. That every time that word comes forth, amen, and watch it vindicate itself. The husband may be laying right there beside him. He may say amen to it. But there's no vindication. Yeah. And he hears that word, gives its instructions, that this is the way it should be, that's the way it should be, and it just rolled right off of him. Or it might be vice versa. You know? Could be the wife that just rolls right off of. She heard the same thing the husband heard. But it rolled right off of her. And now, oh, it's very dangerous ground. Very dangerous. And yet both think they're Christians. That's the thing. Both think they're believers. Both satisfied they have the truth. Yeah. But one it rolled off of, and the other one it didn't. One just don't do it. It may do 90% of it. It might do 99 9/10% of it. But maybe about 1/10%, it's not important. And I've heard that same thing many times, but it just rolls right off. You see? All right, let's go on. He says here, it's not a group. He said it's a personal vindication of a pregnated child of God. Oh, it's a personal. A personal vindication of a pregnated child. One that's really pregnated, a pregnated child of God, friends. I believe with all my heart will be the one that is crying to reach out in the Spirit. They'll have a passion to know that word. They'll have that fervent desire to please God. I don't believe it can be anything else. No. Not according to the many things the prophet said. No. But again, now to many, well, that was in the church age book. He said that. Let's just forget that book. I've had many ministers say that. You know, ain't nothing in that. You know, that wasn't inspired or this, that, and the other, you know. Go ahead and follow a minister like that, and you'll both end up in the ditch. Yeah. It's a personal vindication of a pregnant child of God, filled with the Holy Ghost, so surrendered to God that he don't care about anything else. I wonder how many can match that. They don't care about anything else. They don't care about this. They don't care about this. They don't care about that. Not that they don't take care of maybe something God let them use or something like that, but they don't care. They don't let those things distract them. It's not important to them. You see? They don't care about anything else. Yeah. Even when it comes down, if you can't hate father and mother, brother and sister for my sake, it's not worthy. Just don't care about anything else when it comes to this word. And this word being fulfilled in the individual that you are and it being made manifest. Nothing else is important. This is the most important thing. As the prophet put it in Christ's Mystery God Revealed, read not too long ago, it's the principal theme in your life. The principal theme of your walks, your talks, everything you do. Who's going to match that? Or will it be the water off of the duck's back? That if time goes on, if the Lord does tarry 6 months from now, it'll not even be in our thinking when it should be in our thoughts all the time. Yes. Our purpose here of being fully surrendered, to be a vessel open that he can use us anytime he wants to. You see? Or will 6 months go by and maybe the preacher come along and happen to read that quote again and read some of these things again. And like we read Thursday night, maybe 6 months come along and read that again. Oh, you know, I never thought about that much again. About being a forgetful hearer and not a doer of the word. Yeah. Or what if life is but a vapor? These things in the word of God, that's not man's words, it's God's word. And knowing that our life is like a vapor, and how we should walk every day. Has it already been forgotten from 2 weeks ago? That we go on now, we're already going like we're going to live forever in this body? Because it was forgotten already. Water off a duck's back. You see? I preach messages like I mentioned Thursday night of the Sabbath day and different things that what God's Word said, every step how to do it. And just goes, whoosh, whoosh. Yeah. What are we doing with it? And how many of us sit here guilty today knowing words has come forth and went off the duck's back? Now, the dangerous thing of it is to claim and confess I'm born again, filled with the Holy Ghost, and to do that. Because then it doesn't add up. You see? Now, remember, we're in ripening time. And in ripening time, the sun is really hot. Oh, the sun gets hot. I know, friends, being out in hayfield and different things, there's days when you're out there in that hot sun, it feels like that sun is penetrating clear to your bones. Yeah. But it's just burning you clear up. It gets so hot. Yeah. I trust God's word will be so hot it'll burn every bit of greenness out of us. destroy all the greenness, that we could be ripe, that we could be bread on the Master's table. See? All right, now I want to read two scriptures of the three that the prophet read, just to save a little time, in the message, Souls in Prison. And I want you to listen to these things today. I want you to pay really close attention. Okay? Now, one of the first scriptures he read was 2 Peter and 2nd chapter and 4th, 5th verse. That's up to you if you want to turn. I'm going to try to hurry as quick as I can. For if God spared not the angels that sinned. Wow. I thought he was a real loving God. Yeah, he is. But he didn't even spare the angels that sinned. But cast them down to hell and deliver them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment. And spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the 8th person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of ungodly. He what? He preached to them, didn't he? He sure did. He preached to them. Did they hear it? Absolutely, they heard it. Did they heed to it? No. No. I pray you'll put on your spiritual, as to say, thinking caps this morning. And be in the spirit and listen what this prophet's going to say. Not what I'm going to say. What that prophet said. And the word is spirit and life, is it not? Amen. Absolutely it is. 1 Peter 3:18-22. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit, by which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison. Brother Branham called it souls in prison. Which sometime were disobedient, when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah. Long-suffering of God waited. And Noah kept preaching to him all the time he was building that ark. How many years? My, a long, long time. Look how many time and how many years this message has been around. And the message is still being preached by his true fivefold ministry. Not saying it isn't by false and other ones also, but they're always adding to and taking away somewhere. But the true fivefold ministry is saying just what that prophet said. Okay? He says here, which sometime were disobedient when once the long-suffering God waited in the days of Noah while the ark was preparing, wherein few, that is, 8 souls, were saved by water. The like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us, not the putting away of filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. There's many things we could go into this, but I won't have time to go into all these things. Who is gone into heaven and is on the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers being made subject unto him. Oh, my. Now, I'm going to begin to read here, our souls in prison. And again, I'm trusting you'll listen really, really close. Because I am concerned for the people. I can't help but to be. I am concerned for you. Because I know as I have preached, maybe a total of 38 years now. And how many times it's been walked away from. Many I've preached to is out in the world right now. In filth. There's still times I preach the Word of God. I just got to be honest with you, saints, okay? You don't want me to be honest, don't you? Okay. And there's times I even still preach to the people here and they go out that door as though I never even existed, never said anything over this pulpit. And they do it again. And again. And again. Not realizing it isn't Brother Steve's word. I am just renewing your minds to God's holy word. And what his prophets has already said. You see? Concerned? Why shouldn't I be concerned? Scared? Yes, I'm scared for some. But I thank God for his grace. His mercy. When God shows us a word, shows some people the word, and body quickly comes turns to it. I thank God for His grace, His mercy. Paragraph 104, begin to read in His Souls in Prison, November 10th, 1963. Now, you might have heard different preachers have all kinds of creeds and ideas about this, friend. But I'm just going to read to you what he said. And that's up to you, how between you and God, how you communicate with God on this. All I'm responsible is to say what he said. Again, I trust you'll have your spiritual hearts open, if you have one. I'm sorry to sound so strong sometimes, but I've got to be honest all the time. Jesus, we find out Jesus in his ministry after he had preached to the people. I want you to watch the type, friend, for today. Now we're going to be real scriptural on this. As Jesus had finished his ministry, notice everything he's saying, as Jesus finished his ministry, and his ministry was rejected by the people. Now, you'll read between the lines, he says, now you'll read between the lines and draw your own conception. This is where you need the Holy Ghost. Because you can draw your own conception and be way off. The only way you can draw it is through the Holy Spirit and come out right. Okay? You'll read between the lines and draw your own conception. So he's letting us know there's got to be some reading between the lines here. Okay? Remember what I told you at the first, after he'd preached. He come as a promised one for that day. We all know that. The scriptures identified Jesus Christ as the Messiah. He identified somebody else too. Yeah. Probably the age. With a message. The Word. The Son of Man. Okay. That's right. Thoroughly and firmly vindicated. Thank you. Vindicated by God and His Word that He was the Messiah. There is no question. If anybody question it, if you do, then you should come to the altar. He was the Messiah. He was clearly identified as the Messiah. God identified Him. Do you believe that at least? Do you know God identified Christ as Messiah? All right. Well, we know that the prophet was truly vindicated to be the prophet of the age too. Without a doubt. Without one doubt. As Peter said on the day of Pentecost when he talked to the Sanhedrin about 4 days later, he said, Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by signs and wonders. Are you reading between the lines? I hope you are. Which God did by him in the midst, which we are all witnesses. You have took and by wicked hands and have crucified the Prince of Life, which God has raised up and shown forth these things that you see. Christ lived on, of course, still lives today. Now, after Jesus had clearly came, identified himself, God identified him and he prophesied. And after the days of his prophecy, though scripturally identified, the people rejected him. That's right. And he preached then after they rejected him here. He preached then after they rejected him. The ones that had a possibility of being saved. Remember, when he was preaching, there was a possibility of anybody being saved. We don't know who they are. They're predestinated. But he continually preached. But after the days of his preaching, his ministry continued on. Because the last group he preached to was the souls that were in hell. That could not be forgiven. He says here, that cannot be forgotten. I have clearly read that from the Bible here, from 2 Peter. He went and preached to the souls that were in prison, which is hell, locked up until the day of judgment. Because you see, the judgment isn't now. There is no burning hell now. Somebody will tell you a guy's burning in hell right now. That's wrong. He says a judge of this earth is just enough to never condemn a man until he's brought to trial. And God will never throw a man into the fiery furnace, until first he is condemned by God's own laws. He rejected mercy. So you see, he first has to have a trial. And the trial is the great white throne judgment. But now he's in a place called a prison house. As I saw the vision of both places, I want to read all this so you can get it. Don't get tired of me reading. Okay, now listen. As I saw the vision of both places, and by the grace of God, I say this, not to be sacrilegious. And if it's wrong, God forgive me. I believe I've been in both places. In both places, he says. And I've seen the redeemed, the blessed. I've seen the lost and where they're at. And that's why I stand as your brother today to warn you to flee from the downward path. Don't you never go that road. And you've got everything to live for, that blessed upward way where the redeemed are in joy and peace and they can't sin. They can't be sorry. They can't. There is nothing. They are perfect. Seen both places, I see. I know that's an awful statement for a person to make. But God being my judge, I solemnly believe I've seen both places. I believe that. And oh, far be it from any person ever entering into that regions of the lost. Now, are you believing so far what that prophet's saying right now? I believe with all my heart, without a doubt. You see? If you were standing with hot wires bored through you, tormented in every way, it would not be like that devil torment there in that place. There could be nothing. No human mind couldn't. The human mind couldn't comprehend what those regions of the lost is. There is no way to explain it. And there's no way to explain what the regions of the blessed is. It's so great and so horrible. He said, it's from ridiculous to sublime. From the difference of two places he's talking about. So if anyone hears me, he says, I'm getting to be an old man. I don't know how much longer I've got. I'll soon be 55 years old. I don't know. According to nature, I may not have too many years. He says, I don't know where this tape will go, but let everyone hear. And on tape, here. Or wherever it may go, don't never go towards that regions of lost. You can't picture hell being that bad. And whatever you do, don't never forget this, that the regions of the blessed, I would say this with St. Paul, eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, nor either it entered the heart of man what God has have for them in store that love him. So stop. If you're listening to this tape, turn the machine off and repent if you're not saved and get right with God. Pretty serious what he's going to say. Now again, the only way I know that I'm already saved is if I can match what the prophet said the true evidence of baptism of the Holy Ghost says. Not by one time feeling chills get down my back. Not one time by screaming, rejoicing because I got happy and everybody else was jumping around and I was happy along with them. No. But if I can receive clearly the word for this day, have a clear understanding, it vindicates itself. In other words, it's proven that I understand it. It comes forth. The entire word. So there can't be one drop land on the duck's back and roll off. Now, if you don't believe that, friends, you don't believe this message. So many people think in this hour you can get by with that one word. How many times did the prophet show you couldn't? You're hanging over hell by one link. One word. That's what you're hanging. And yet men will get up and preach, now God will overlook this. And God don't care about that. You don't have to fulfill this. You don't have to live by that. Cursed is that man. He's preached something besides what Paul preached. And he definitely preached something different than what the prophet preached. Let him be accursed. He says here, now listen, saints. Notice, Jesus, after he had finished his ministry, preached to those souls that were unsavable. Think of that. After he finished his ministry, he preached to those souls that were unsavable, that could never be saved. Now, the Bible tells us that he went and preached to the souls that were in prison, that repented not. That's to turn away from that, friend, your past sin, or turn away from your sin. They repented not. When mercy was given to them, do you realize mercy's right here?
Amen.
It sure is. Mercy's here. They spurned mercy. That word coming forth is mercy. 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 And you let it hit your back and roll off, friend, you're spurning mercy. You may not think you are, but you're spurning mercy. When that word don't mean nothing and it's not concerning you and and some, as I've said here just a couple weeks ago, they're so concerned about being for Henry sitting beside them, they don't see it's for them sitting there. What a dangerous place to be in. He says, now the Bible tells it, he says he went and preached to the souls that were in prison that repented not when mercy was given to them. They spurned mercy. And now they wait, he says, and now they're waiting for the judgment. Oh, what a time that must have been. Oh, I wish there was some way. Now, if it wasn't important for us, why would he think this way? Oh, I wish there was some way I could shake the world with that to let them see what the reality is. If he's just talking about Jesus going to preaching the souls in prison, why would he say that? Why would he be concerned about that? Saints, go on. And Jesus said to himself, as the Father sent me, now pay attention, Jesus said himself, as the Father sent me, so send I you also. And as the Father sent him to preach to the living, to those who had hope, and then present the same message to those who had no hope, it seems too fitting at this time that will have to be done. That will have to be done. Not only then, but now. Because the Spirit of Christ living in us does not change the nature of Him. Do you hear what He says? The Spirit of Christ living in us does not change the nature of Him. Or doesn't change God's system. We must be the same in every generation. He must be the same. As the Father sent me, so send I you. The ministries must be the same. The ministries must be the same. Insomuch that he said, I see some of you writing down, St. John 14:12. He that believeth on me and the works that I do shall he do also. The works, he said. Preaching to the lost. Wow. Healing the sick. And then to the impossible to ever be saved. The work went on just the same. He said, it seems too fitting for now. I remember back then he was saying, I hope it isn't the time now. He didn't know if it was or not. He said, I have children that need to be saved. He had loved ones he wanted to see saved. He was hoping it wasn't for then. But when is this time? When is it? God never leaves it unanswered. He says, "He that believeth on me and the works that I do shall he do also." The works, preaching to the lost, healing the sick, and then to the impossible to ever be saved. The work went on just the same. So this has been, and has, he says, has it been? He questions, has it been? May I put it like this? The ministry of Jesus Christ reincarnated in his church is this last day, in this last day. That's what, he says, that's what many of us believe. I believe it with you. I believe this. If I didn't believe it, I'd do something about it, you see. Because after all, this is me that I'm concerned in here. And if the Spirit of God be in you, you're concerned about the people. Yeah. If the Spirit of God is in any person, you're concerned about the people. How could you not be? There was a scripture that always puzzled me, how Moses could tell God a better idea than God had, till I found out that it was the Spirit of Christ in Moses. See? God said, "Moses, separate yourself from them. I'll destroy the whole thing, and I'll start with you." He said, "Lord," he threw himself in the breach, he says, "take me and blot out my name." My. How he must have loved the people. Of these very people that had rebelled, what do we do when God's word comes forth? Scripturally, tells us exactly what to do, and we don't do it. There's no other word other than rebel. Your children, when you tell them and you give them instructions exactly what to do, you take the trash out, Susie, and they just turn their head and walk away, water off the duck's back. You tell me that ain't rebellion. They heard it. And maybe some parents get so upset, so uptight because their child rebels. And you rebel yourself. God's word. Where do you stand with God? In your rebellion. And God tells you exactly what to do. He tells you exactly what not to do. Has told you plainly, and you rebel. And you walk out against it. You don't have to say nothing to nobody. Your life vindicates it. And in your rebellion and turning against God's word, then you try to come up with an excuse, "Well, I just didn't do it because I didn't know for sure it was for me." Nonsense. As the old saying is, hogwash. Yeah. Just like the old devil, he's always got excuses. Sun's hot, I know. But it's got to be. For if it wasn't, it wouldn't be what God said it would be. Yeah. He says here, all right, let's go on. All right, he says, I'll read this again, make sure you get it. I'll put it like this. The ministry of Jesus Christ reincarnated in his church in the last day, that's what many of us believe. I believe with you. I believe this. If I didn't believe it, I'd do something else about it. Because after all, I'm concerned about it here. And if the Spirit of God be in you, you're concerned about the people. There was, I guess we had to ask, going down. And when a minister that's got the people on his heart, how could I ever feel justified before God and to myself to ever hold anything back from a people that you love better than yourself? How could I, even the little position I have, how could I hold anything back and let the Word of God chasten you when I love you more than I love myself? Oh, Brother Steve, do you? Yeah. There's a lot of things I could do in life if I wasn't studying all the time. Yeah. A lot of things I could do in life. And things that wouldn't be bad. Yeah. But I love you more than I do myself. And think of that prophet, how much greater it was. I'm just a little speck. You know. And just got a little people that I'm trying to help. But look at the responsibility he had He says here, he says, how could I ever hold anything back from people that I love better than myself or yourself? How could a man take a person into the church by a hand join or shake or some sprinkle or some false baptism or something and let them lay under the influence of a lie and know that Bible lays there and says and say he loves that person? How could I say I love you and let you continue on without saying anything about it? How could I? How could I not bring things that would try to turn you to the right direction? When I get behind this pulpit and I preach things from this word and tells you exactly what God wants and you go right out contrary to it. If I really loved you, how could I not say something about it? And try to bring something to really turn your heart and twist it around to where you'll go on the right path. You see? That prophet did that. I'm just saying what he's going to say and what he's already said. Yeah. He says here, though I have to beg for my living, and listen to the concern he had in his heart. Though I have to beg for my living, whatever it is, let me be honest with God and the people to tell them the truth. Oh my. Never let me be a deceiver. How could I deceive who I love? Though I have to hurt them, yet I love them. That's the reason you spank your child, is because you love him. Not because you don't like him, because you love him. If he's wrong, he'll get killed if you don't correct him. You see? Don't you think, I know enough that you're going to die if it don't get corrected in your life? Don't you think it's why I try to ask God, give me what it takes to bring Lord to your people that'll shake them? And if I see the things I see, what does God see? As I said, I can preach messages about loving your brother and sister and say nice things about each other, and you go right out just the next day and say things contrary-wise. You rebelled! But where are you going to end up? Or is your excuse, I just had a bad day. I wasn't thinking. Well, that's why the Holy Ghost was to come, your comforter. The Holy Ghost was to teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever he said unto you. Otherwise, you just got intellectual conception, you're born again. But where's the vindication of it? Yeah. The Word of God will plainly tell you that give Caesar what belongs to Caesar, and maybe the speed limit is 70, and I'll just drive my 80. I don't care. Rebellion! Against Brother Steve, no, God's Word. And God sees everything. But you think you're all right because you're a son of God and using the thoughts of God before the world was ever formed. I'm going to tell you, friend, if you never come to the truth, you never was in God's thoughts eternally. No. Only the predestinated will come to the fullness of this. See, you're too concerned, Brother Stephen, living by every word. Yes, I am. Because the prophet showed God was concerned about it. The scripture shows God is concerned about it. He told Eve exactly what to do. She rebelled. He told right in the middle of the scripture in the Bible, in the book of Luke and Mark, to tell you exactly, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from my mouth. Then right clear to the end, to make sure it was covered from cover to cover. Yeah. He that adds to or takes away one word of this book. The plagues of this Bible should be added unto you. You have no life. Yet that same devil, right through preachers' mouths today, and things they hear on internet, and things they hear this, that, and the other, they think it's okay to miss one word. You don't realize, friends, you're rebellious. You're being deceived and don't realize it. You see? You think it don't have to be every word. You may have heard some great teacher, some prophet you thought was a prophet, say, don't worry about it. If he did, friends, it can't be scripturally right and it's not Christ. No. Can't be. Oh my. Now, so as, he says, so has the ministry been. As it was, so it is today. It has been preached and thoroughly vindicated by the word of God. Did not the prophet's word today,
Wasn't it vindicated perfectly? What happened here? What happened all these other times? These things are precious brothers and old saints. If someone's passed away, gives testimony of what they've seen. Thoroughly vindicated that it was God. You see? It has been preached and thoroughly vindicated by the Word of God that it couldn't be man. We know it couldn't be man. Man couldn't keep it like this. You see? It has to be God. It has to be. Notice the same spiritual signs that Jesus done has reoccurred on the earth in the last days. Has it not? Amen. Absolutely. The very same spiritual sign that he identified himself as Messiah has identified him today. He is still Messiah. The same material signs has appeared on the earth that appeared by he, what he was. The same pillar of fire that St. Paul saw, the same one. All that has reoccurred with the same nature in it, doing the same thing. Now, how can I rebel against that? That prophet tells us exactly in Christ the Mystery God Revealed what our lives has to be. He tells us in Paul, prisoner of Jesus Christ, exactly what it has to be. He told us in the future home exactly what the new birth was and all these many things. We could go on and on. Jesus claimed that he's done nothing until the Father showed him. And the Father is the Holy Spirit. I'm going to try to hurry up. He showed him, and he says, and the Father is the Holy Spirit. We realize that it's just an office of God. If it isn't, then which one of them is the Father of Jesus Christ? Jesus said God was his Father. And the Bible said the Holy Ghost was his Father. And Brother Pitts gave me a message. Brother Leavell, preaching on the Godhead, done a very good job. Sort of believe it, 90 years old, or almost 90 years old, he's still preaching. But he'd done a very good job doing that. Now, you can't make him be an illegitimate child. So the Holy Ghost is God. So was Jesus God. So God, Father, Son, Holy Ghost, the three offices, one God. It's three attributes, the same God. You're a part of God, and I'm a part of God. All this now. You're a part of God, I'm a part of God. See, but I'm not all of God. And neither are you all of God. See, it's an attribute. It's attributes of God upon us as sons adopted by Jesus Christ, which God himself became flesh to die for us. Now, the Holy Spirit always showed him things to come. Now, keep that. Watch what happened now. Watch the type. Okay. It was always perfect. Is that right? He did not take credit himself. He gave credit to God. He said, the Son can do nothing in himself but what he sees the Father doing. And the Father, the Holy Spirit, was his Father. Is that right? Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost, which was his Father. And the Holy Ghost showed Jesus things to come, told him things that was. And he was God prophet, because the word of the Lord only comes to the prophet, showing that the words came in minor form. The prophets wrote what the Lord told them, but he wrote nothing because he was the Word. See, you're talking about Christ now. He wrote nothing because he was the Word. He was the Word. Notice the same Holy Spirit that lived in him, yet a little while in the world see me no more. Yet you shall see me because I will be with you. Now pay attention to what he's saying, because showing again what word came through his lips. The prophet of the hour. He said, I will come to you. He said, I was the Father that was in him that was to come. And he said, when the Holy Ghost has come upon you, he will reveal these things that I've taught you and will show you things to come. There you are now. Now we notice that as the Holy Spirit worked in the church then, so has the Holy Spirit done exactly the same things today. Announcing by the pillar of fire, just exactly, was at the beginning, the same thing. And seeing this come upon Jesus, John announced it at the River Jordan and has proved everything. Even scientific pictures of it, it can't be disputed. It was scientifically. It was material. It wasn't a mythical thought. It wasn't psychology, as George J. Lacey said. The mechanical eye of the camera won't take psychology. The light struck the lens. Now look what he's getting at. And his soul's in prison? Was a message came forth. And what about you, church, that about 6 or 8 months ago here, and standing, saying, it's thus saith the Lord, that I'm going to Tucson, Arizona. There will be a blast, and 7 angels will appear. You remember? Congregation says amen. God making it so real unto Life Magazine. It says here, look, but it was Life Magazine. Took the pictures of it, and we all know what that is. Spiritual, foresaw, materialized, just exactly the same. The 7 angels, which brought forth the winding up of all the scriptures, cause all the mysteries of the entire Bible lays in 7 seals. We know that. That is the book, it's the seal. Or he said, it's the seal, it's sealed. He said, with that, he said, sealed even to that out. It's the mystery of the entire book and laid in those 7 seals, see, that the Lord let us bring. And there is men sitting here today, right here present with me, that it happened. And talks about, again, Life Magazine packing it. I'll skip a little bit of that because, you know, I just want you to see the point there, all right? Well, let's read that last couple there. And there is men sitting here today that was right there present with me when it happened. Life Magazine proved the same thing. It actually happened because it was God that told it. It was God that stands behind his word to perform it. Did not he do that? Absolutely he did. We've got many witnesses that still give testimony. It's all those things, you see. All right? He says here, therefore, it's not some man or carnal person like myself that's among you people. It's the eternal God. He uses men. That's true. He does nothing outside what he does by men. We realize that. That's his agent. That's what he chose. Well, I don't know. He says, he could have made the sun to preach the gospel. He could have made the wind to preach the gospel. He could have made the wind to do things, but he chose men. That was his idea. The human would speak back to human. All right? Not himself now, not himself, but the word of the Lord came to the prophets, the prophesiers, the preachers, and the prophesier that denies the original word. How can he be a true prophet? There's one said a little bit ago. How can you deny it if you're a true prophet? Can't. See, he can't, see, because he is denying the truth of the word. And then if it doesn't, then this word itself, as it's preached by the trueness of the word and by the trueness of the Holy Spirit, it'll manifest every promise that it's promised. It won't miss one, friends. Not a one. That's how we know whether it's right. That's how we know this word's right. That's how I know all this word that I've preached this morning or read out of is right, right? Yeah, it's vindicated. God vindicated himself. That's how we know whether it's right. That's what Jesus said. If I do not the works which is written of me to do, then don't believe me. Now we see these things. Now you've seen so far what I've read in this Souls in Prison. We know a message came forth. The message of the hour. Again, let me repeat just a few of them. Spiritual food in due season. Christ the mystery of God revealed. Oh, yeah. Paul, prisoner of Jesus Christ. Sea does not err with the shock. Souls in prison. All these different messages was God speaking to his people. And so all this word come forth gives us exact instruction what to do, how to do it, when it should be done. Everything. Nothing hidden in the corner. All the loose strings has been taken care of. Has it not? Absolutely. So now we sit as a people and the full word has came forth. And of course, we've had preachers in the land today. Well, the full word ain't come forth today, so I'm going to preach now. I'm going to give you this and this and the other. Just walk away from it. But here we find now all this word's laid in front of us. I want you to think now. He's told us exactly how to act. He's told us exactly how to handle life's situations. Is that right? He sends his true fivefold ministry, and they keep renewing their minds to it. And he tells them again, and he tells them again. Now, where is this all going to come to? I'm just going to say a few things before we close, before we go back into it, maybe this evening. We'll see what the Lord wants. Where is this all going to turn to? This thing, people letting run off the backs, hear the word. They've heard exactly how a woman should be. They know exactly her position. She's heard it, just as Noah preached to those people back then. Same. She knows how she is to honor her husband. The husband knows how he's to love his wife. Yeah. We know all these things. Yeah. We know all these, what we call little words. People think are little when they're all great big. Because minus one, you're out. If you don't believe it. And just walk away from it. And just keep rebelling against it. We know what it is to get involved in men at the job and getting in their filthy jokes. You know what it is. Yes. You know exactly what it is. You know it's wrong. Do we not? We know it's wrong to lie. We know it's wrong to try to cheat somebody because the love of money is so great in our life. If I could just cheat you somehow. And sometimes they get so cheaty-minded, they don't even realize they're cheating people. Because the love of money is so great in their heart. That almighty dollar, give me that dollar, dollar, dollar. Let me make more money. More dollars! You say money's happiness, money is hell. Money is the root of all evil. Yeah. Well, money sure makes it nice, yeah. But how easy it is to get away from Christ with money. Yeah. But all these things has been preached on. Life is but a vapor. Because we go around thinking, I'm going to live forever, and I'm going to just store up this, and I'm going to buy this, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to lay this, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do this, and tomorrow I'm going to do this. Without, you don't know if you'll be living tomorrow. It's one word, friends. One word. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And we let these water drops of the word hit our back and roll off and think we're okay. Everything's fine. Don't bother me, brother or preacher. I'm all right. In whose opinion are you? Is your own personal opinion or God's opinion? I'm going to tell you, God's opinion is the opinion. He knows exactly what he's talking about. Yeah. But how many times, if the preacher sees it, preaches his heart out, trying to get it to people, and a week later he has to see him. Just a question. Am I preaching to souls in prison now? I'm not saying it is. But the prophet knew one day it would come. If it wasn't then. Yeah. They rebelled against the truth. They rebelled against it. Yeah. Now, it ain't quite as sad a thing. Person sits there and knows they ain't born again and never claimed to be born again. They're maybe have a little something burning on the inside and they're trusting God will put it there what needs to be done. But the real sad thing is those that thinks they're born again. Filled with the Holy Ghost, they think. Look out. Brother Steve, you're going to make me doubt I got the Holy Ghost. If I can make you doubt you got it, you don't have it. Always remember that. Because if you've got it, I don't care if men gather all around you, preachers all over the world, and tell you you're not born again, you'll know whether you're born again or not. Say, get behind me, Satan. Get out of my way. I know I have the new birth. It's vindicated so, according to God's word. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Just trying to get to you, saints, before it's too late. I believe the Holy Spirit's trying to get to you before it's too late. I believe that's why many times, maybe in the middle of the night, I'll wake up. And a quote, scripture coming to my mind, and I'll go in and jot it down. Yeah. Would you, sisters, come in?
Christmas, please. I won't say no more. Amen. But friends, there's a journey. It must be finished. As Jesus himself said, you know, and you all know the scripture on it. His disciples had gone away and gotten things to eat. And here, knowing Jesus hadn't ate for a while, their concern, love for him, to give him something to eat. He was, knowing he had to be hungry. So they went through all this effort to get this food so they could sit down and eat. And Master, here's some meat. Let's sit down and eat now. I have meat to eat that you know nothing of. My meat is to do the will of him that sent me. And to, if we could all only have the rest of this, and to finish his work. The true desire in our heart to finish it. Not just keep going, keep going, keep going. But Lord, whatever it takes in me to accomplish the finished work, that this rapture can take place. Not living like I'm just going to live, keep serving and living the message, just keep living the message and just keep being a Christian. So, but what about the finished work? To see it done. The desire. Lord, thy will be done in my life. Oh God, help me. Maybe I'm a young person. You may sit there this morning. I trust the Holy Ghost. Place something down inside of you. But you don't forget the warning that prophet gave you. Don't you never go that downward way. Never. Never. We can't even comprehend how bad it would be. But I'll take his word for it. It's going to be bad. So now you're just trying to scare me into it now. Just want you to recognize that there is a real hell. There's a real heaven that's beyond. Eyes have not seen. We can't even, it hasn't even entered the hearts, man's hearts, what he has prepared for us. That's the way I want to go. But we make this life so important. We put so many things before him. Oh my, everything's so important to us down here. We got to get this and we have to have that done and we got to do this way and we got to own this and we got to do that. As I told you before, and I'm still praying, but I want to be in the perfect will of God. So bad, I just want to get rid of everything other than just to attain living, and that's it. Yeah. Yeah. But like I said, I want to be in the perfect will of God. And I don't want nobody to do anything I do. You're your own individual. That's right. One thing about it, I'm not going to take it with me. No. What's most important to us? Amen. Hallelujah. And as I've said before, I farm a little bit because to get a little exercise. You know? Move some trees, cut some trees down, do this, that, and other. Because I'm telling you, if I didn't do that, I'd turn into mush. Completely. Yeah. So I do try to do something, and as I said before, to me it's the goofiest thing ever to get on a treadmill. Why not do something productive? Help a brother in Christ. Help a sister sew a dress. Do something, you know. I have nothing against treadmills or anything. But I just am a productive thinking person. I want everything to be productive for Christ. You know? Amen. So you're not a bad person if you've got a treadmill. You're okay. It's just, I don't see no sense in it for me. It's whatever you want to do, you know. And sometimes when you get old and you ain't got nothing else to do and you live in a little tiny house in town, you might need to do something like that, you know. Yeah. But as long as I got space to move and breathe, amen, I'll do something. Amen. All right. For where we're at so far, I trust there's something on the inside you're searching. Making sure. If we come in here, friends, and don't find some place to search higher for Christ, something's wrong. But may we reach for the higher ground. Climb that next rung on the ladder. Hallelujah.
And I know I'm probably not an easy person to like, but as long as you love Jesus Christ with all your heart. But again, if you can't love your brother who you have seen, how can you love your Father, Heavenly Father, who you've now seen, you see? So I hope you do love me. I hope you never get tired of me. I hope you just want to press on. Amen. Let us all stand. Let's sing a little chorus. I'm pressing on the upward way. Amen. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's table land. Greater grace than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Hallelujah. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's table land, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on high. Brother Gensel will come up, dismiss us. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's table.
Heavenly Father, Lord, we have deemed it a wonderful opportunity, Lord, to come and listen to you speak to us, Father, praying that, Lord, each and every one of us would search our lives, Lord, by that word. And, oh, God, may we just take this word in and, Lord, let it take root within our souls, Lord, and that we would grow stronger in you, Lord. And that, Father, that we wouldn't let this word just roll off of us and just keep on living. But Lord, let it become a reality in our lives. Amen. That Father, we have come to finish a work. That Lord, we're not here to look to live another 20 years and just keep going on and on. But Lord, there just seems there's something burning in our hearts, Lord. That Father, there's a work to be done. It needs to be finished. And Lord, may each and every one of us, may we have that cry in our heart, Lord. Take any greenness out of us, Lord. Anything that's contrary to your word, Lord, just take it off of us. And may we just learn to yield to you, Lord, and follow your Holy Spirit. And let it make the decisions in our lives, Father. And sometimes if we don't have the patience to wait, teach us to have the patience until we know what you want us to do. That, Lord, we'd only move by the leading of thy Holy Spirit. And Lord, I just pray, Father, you just help each and every one of us, Lord. Be with us as we travel. Keep us safe upon the roadways. And Lord, if you should tarry till this evening, Lord, may we come back hungry, Lord, to receive more word, Lord, more closer walk with you, Lord, and that you would bless our fellowship as we come together, Lord, with brothers and sisters of like faith. Oh, Lord, how we just love and appreciate you for your mercy and your grace in our lives, and just have your way in our lives. And we give you all the glory and honor and praise. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Let's just sing that little chorus. I'll say amen to Jesus. I'll say amen to Jesus. Amen.